Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. With me today, today we're here at an Applebee's. We're here with Carl. How you doing, Carl?
I'm doing quite well. How are you doing?
Doing well. We're here with Michael as well.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. Yeah, we're here. We're watching the Jets-Giants preseason game. Right now, the Jets are up 17-14. We're kind of surprised the Giants' offense has 14 points, actually.
They have looked pretty futile for most of the evening.
I don't know what it is. Is it their offensive line? I think ever since they got rid of Jacobs and Bradshaw, that the offense hasn't been the same.
Well, that too, and you also got to look at it too, that they're installing a new offense with a new offensive coordinator with McAdoo in there, and this is why you have preseason games.
Yeah.
You have preseason games to get the rust out, to get familiar with everything and everyone. That's why you also have training camp too. These games are tests. I mean, the main goal is for no one to get seriously hurt.
Yeah.
You know, as you see in these exhibition games, one bad injury could cost you your season, a.k.a. see Mark Sanchez from last year.
Yeah, Sanchez from last year.
When he got thrown into a fourth quarter, when he got thrown in there in a fourth quarter,
yeah,
he got hurt. So now it's time to get the rust out.
Yeah.
If this is a situation where we're sitting here on September 8th and they're playing the Lions and Eli Manning's got a bad game, may raise a red flag a little bit.
No, it's true. And, you know, there's the guy in Dallas. He injured his neck and now his career's over. There's the other guy, oh, I forget his name. He had to retire recently. I think he was a Cowboy or a Raven or something. Mm-hmm. Forget who it was. And then I was just, because I know, Michael, you're a Raiders fan. Yeah. I saw, I think number 52 was pulled off on a stretcher during their preseason game with the Packers.
That's Khalil Mack. That's a bad sign. Got pulled off on a stretcher. We got to check the injuries there on that. And that's the problem last week as an Oakland Raider fan. What drove me nuts was Derek Carr's their future.
Yeah.
He's in there for three quarters. He should have been in there for a quarter and a half tops. Now, you know, next week, no one's going to play.
Yeah, nobody's playing. It's like 53 guys playing for five positions next
that's
week.
That's what it is.
So that's, you know, it's a fun game the final week of preseason because, well, you don't see any of the big name players, but you'll just see these guys who are really playing.
Absolutely.
So you get a really good game
and
next week.
They're all playing hard because they're all fighting for those few remaining spots and looking to make a name for themselves moving forward.
Sure. Special teams, special teams, special teams. That's how you make the football.
That's how Ray Lucas made it with, became one of Parcells' boys.
That's he did.
Special
That's
teams,
he did.
Special teams, special teams.
And then he took over for quarterback with Testaverde when the turf monster jump up a bit. Oh, that was the worst. The first game back. And then we had to rely on the punter that year as the quarterback.
And
for,
you were
for
going
a couple
to
seasons.
The Super Bowl that year. That year was your team. 99 was your
99.
And that's when Parcells decided to hightail it out of there.
Yeah, as he usually does. He sets it up and then he leaves, especially that late in his life, or his career, I should say. Still alive.
What destroyed me about Parcells, too, in the end, which was kind of funny, a guy of Parcells' integrity, why would you go work for Jerry Jones? Can someone explain that to me? Why would you go work for Jerry Jones? I mean, yeah, you miss coaching. There's 30 other jobs that you can, as he used to say in New England, if I'm the chef in the kitchen, let me buy the groceries.
Yeah,
why would
love
you,
that line.
Why would you do that and then deal with the Terrell Owens circus down there where Terrell Owens, whatever the heck she was,
yeah,
the agent or girlfriend says, there's 100 million reasons why Terrell wouldn't kill himself.
I mean,
that's just crazy. Parcells really missed coaching that much?
I'm guessing he wanted a challenge because, like, if you can win there,
yeah,
you know, in those circumstances, yeah, you're not only revered, but it's also you get a lot of credit. And I think that money played a big issue in it. Jerry will just dole it out. He's got a lot to do. You know.
Monies and egos. That's what it was.
Absolutely. Yeah. Which is usually how it is. And I wouldn't be surprised in a small way if he looked up at Belichick, see how well he was doing. Because remember, like, Parcells and Belichick through New York and New England, they were real tight, and you know, one couldn't do it without the other. You know, Belichick went to Cleveland, he didn't succeed, and they found their success with each other, and then Belichick does it on his own. Like, wait a minute, maybe I can do it without Belichick.
Well, wait a minute, one thing there about Belichick, you notice once Romeo and Charlie Rice left, then Belichick couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You notice that.
He has gone so far away from the defense, it astounds me. I mean, this is a guy who shut down the Bills offense and the Super Bowl, and he's all about defense, and now he's just his defenses are like paper thin.
He's been able to rely on his quarterback for so long. I mean, Tom Brady has been, just a once in a generation's talent out there, and it's hard to not give that type of player the tools he needs to be successful. And when you're trying to, keep your offense going, sometimes, that defense will slip, and you're taking the focus away from being a stopper to being a scorer. And, as we've seen, defense wins championships so often.
Big time, yeah.
That's why they're at the top, but just can't quite get to that Super Bowl win anymore.
Yeah, it's so far, they're not balanced. There's just no balance, and they constantly just plug guys in on defense. When maybe like season to season you can do that.
Yeah,
a defensive player is the most replaceable player on the field. Anybody can play defense, but to do it in season as often as they do, it doesn't work out for them. I don't think.
Tom Brady's not famous without the tuck rule. I'm sorry, I'm biased on that. I have to say that.
Hey, I totally agree with you. I think the three AFC fans here at the table can agree. That it was, and I feel bad because the Jets were the one that knocked out Bledsoe in the beginning.
Yeah, thanks,
Mo Lewis.
Mo Lewis.
Yeah, really.
No, but you look at the Patriots and you look at Tom Brady. It's also not only is Tom Brady a good quarterback and they have the right tools, and you also look at their division. Their division is not a good division. That division is handed to them every year. I think the Dolphins was the only team to win the division a couple years
Wildcat,
ago.
The first season of the Wildcat.
And every year it's been New England, New England, New England. I think if you put New England in a division, let's say the AFC North, with a Baltimore, with a Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that'd be a lot tougher.
Then let's see what they do. Put them in the AFC West with Denver, Kansas City, San Diego. Phillip Rivers, I'll tell you right now, as an Oakland Raider fan, Phillip Rivers is like a mosquito. Somehow he's still in there. He's always there. He's always yelling, and somehow he gets that team in, and that's to his credit.
And Rivers is the kind of guy who you would expect to have like a glass jaw, like he'd be out like halfway through the season, but somehow he's able to do it, and he basically does it on his own. Like, it's amazing the games the Chargers pull out. Like, there I'm sitting at, like, 7 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. I'm saying, how are they doing this? Wait, weren't they behind by 30 points? What happened? But somehow they're able to do it. Yeah, the Raiders have it tough this year in the AFC West. They've got the hardest strength of schedule to go up against. So, it's going to be tough for them.
And that's the thing with the Raiders, as a Raider fan being the way it is. I've been for this rebuilding situation. I'm a big proponent of it.
Right.
You got to give them time. I'm patient. You got to rebuild. Rome wasn't built in a day. However, you got to look at a situation like this, okay? The free agent moves that they did.
Yeah.
I love Justin Tuck. I think Justin Tuck is going to be a mentor for Seal Moore and Khalil Mack. Matt Schaub is a 50-50 risk based on what I've seen so far, okay?
Right.
Pass protection, he's in trouble. Maurice Jones-Drew, excuse me, I like what he's done.
Sure.
Darren McFadden, I get nervous when he walks.
Yeah.
but the bottom line is this. One thing about these free agent signs that the Raiders did, they were short-term contracts.
Sure.
Unless the Raiders go 2-14 and they tank, okay,
mm-hmm.
And Jim Harbaugh is across the bay without a contract signed.
Yeah.
You make a run for him. And it is going to be tough for the Raiders this year because of the strength of schedule, which I don't get. And maybe you can help me out. Carl, you can help me out with this. I know the NFL is supposed to be last place versus last place teams.
Right.
First place versus first place teams.
Yeah.
But it seems like the last place team and it could be any last place
team. Sure.
Gets the toughest schedule because they do the rotation of the divisions. And some divisions are stronger than other.
Yes.
So if you're in a division this year that has the AFC East, that you're playing the AFC East, you only have to worry about New England. Because Miami's beatable.
Yeah.
Sorry, the Jets.
No, I think that's that's fair.
Buffalo's beatable. It's absolutely the rotation of the schedule, which is a killer.
It's luck of the draw, though. Whenever you hit that cycle, if you were to hit, the AFC East a couple of years ago when the Jets were doing, a little bit more solidly.
That'd be tough.
And the Dolphins had their moment as well there. It wouldn't have been such a presumed cakewalk, which, there we go, presumed is even though going in, the Raiders may have the hardest strength of schedule by the end of the year. Some of the teams that are expected to do quite well could completely fall apart. Look at the Houston Texans just last year.
Absolutely.
Going into the season as a possible Super Bowl contender, certainly a playoff caliber team, completely fell apart. And we're not as difficult as presumed going into it. And, you know, football is just like that. And, you know, you got a bad draw going in, but at the end of the year, you never know. You might be surprised.
Absolutely.
And you make an excellent point. I'm sorry. Make an excellent point with that. Any given Sunday, something could happen. You get someone, God forbid, gets hurt, a key superstar football player gets hurt. That hurts your team.
Absolutely.
Look at the Packers last year with Aaron Rodgers. He's out 6 to 8 weeks, correct me if I'm wrong, with a broken collarbone. Mm-hmm. The Packers, on the other hand, had to go to Chicago.
Yeah.
They beat Chicago, but because they were a sixth seed, they were gone early because they didn't have Aaron Rodgers in there. And they probably could have had home field advantage.
Yeah, it's tough when you do that. And on the when talking about the strength of schedules, the AFC South has the easiest. The four teams from the AFC South have, in order, the easiest schedule. The Colts have the easiest schedule because they're playing six games against their other teams in the AFC South, and all six were under 500.
Yeah.
And then even their first place teams, they only have to play, you know, three of them. And then I forget what other division they have, but that goes the same thing for the Jaguars, the Texans, and the Titans. You know, they have to play that other weak division. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and you're talking about cycles. Look at the NFC East. I mean, for how long was that the toughest division?
Yeah.
And now, like, none of them are, you know, it's going to be the Eagles who are going to win, I think.
Well,
who else is going to do it?
Well, it depends who plays the Cowboys on the final game of the season. Usually,
that always works out well for them.
Usually, who beats the Cowboys, there's your NFC East winner. But you know what? No, I agree with you 100%. The Eagles are there. I mean, they got Nick Foles. Let's see if he could build off of this year. Chip Kelly has another year. Mm-hmm. I think the only team that could give them a run for their money, if they're healthy, are the Giants. If they could get their offensive order, because the Giants will be there. Eli Manning's there. You got Victor Cruz.
Yep.
The running game's a little skeptical. Rashad Jennings. I love Rashad Jennings with the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dallas is a circus. I mean, with all due respect to Tony Romo, I saw the preseason game last week, and SportsCenter was doing a one-hour tribute, and it was like a mockery to Romo. The Redskins, you know, they got the RG3. They got Deshaun Jackson now.
Sure.
Now let's see what Jake Gruden can do now that Mike Shanahan couldn't, if Daniel Snyder can leave it alone. I mean,
That's going to be tough.
I mean, and that's the thing. You're right. The NFC is on. It's Philadelphia's division to lose.
Absolutely. I mean, with all the stuff that he did last year, I mean, this is Chip Kelly. He's the big offensive guru, and, you know, but that defense is still weak. There's no balanced teams there. They're just weak defensively teams in the NFC East.
And it's not just the defense, it's the consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about, you know, you'd mentioned any given Sunday. There's a reason why that's a saying that's reiterated constantly, because it's completely true.
Yeah.
And in the NFC East in particular, you look at the Giants. One week they look like they could beat anybody. The next week they look like they couldn't beat a high school team. and same with the Dallas Cowboys. You never know what team is going to show up. Are they going to show up the playoff team or the basement team?
Yeah.
And it's just that inconsistency, and not a single team in that division currently has the consistency that shows you, you know what, they're going to be strong every single week this year.
And when you talk about consistent, like, divisions, you look at the AFC North. I know you're a Steelers fan. I mean, the Steelers, the Ravens, the Bengals, and even the Browns. I mean, you can't really count on the Browns, but between the Ravens and Steelers themselves, I mean, that's just tough. That's a gauntlet.
For years, it's been going back and forth between those two, and I know a lot of people say, well, you're playing the Browns every year. Well, the reason the Browns kind of have a bad record is because they're going up against the Steelers and the Ravens. You know?
And it's just amazing that the Bengals are able to run through those gauntlets and they've been making the playoffs the last couple of years.
They've come up, and they've made it a three-team race now for one spot, and it's
amazing.
It's an absolute battle.
It's one of the toughest divisions. It's one of the toughest divisions in football. And now I read today that the Browns are going to try to put in a game plan system for some place for Johnny Manziel.
I know, I heard that.
Quarterback system.
And that's a mistake. I mean, I know. I'm sorry.
No.
I know you have to please your fan base.
Mm-hmm.
I know the owner drafted Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
But let's look at what Johnny Manziel has done since college, okay? Let's review. He goes to a Manning football camp, doesn't show up on time, he leaves.
Yeah.
Okay? Johnny football in Texas, okay, they love him in Texas. If you saw him with his, hey, we're number one Monday night against the Redskins.
Yeah.
You know,
flipping the bird. He got fined for that.
He got fined $12,000 for that, but you can't do that. But as far as the AFC North goes, you have the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to be there. Ray Rice, okay, he's going to be suspended 2 games
for
his little
stunt,
which was wrong what he did.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
But what makes this... The Bengals, okay, the Bengals will run through the division, and then somehow, like last year, they can't get out of the first round of the playoffs.
True.
The Steelers, you got to count on because of the Steelers organization and because of the structure. You got Mike Tomlin as the coach. Yeah, you lost Lamar Woodley on defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you got Big Ben there, okay?
Yeah.
So anything can happen with that division. My personal opinion, I still think it's the Ravens' division, you know, and you could see... But you could see going into December, the three of them fighting it out.
Oh, absolutely.
And unfortunately, one or two of them, someone didn't like what I just said.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you have one or two of them who may be on the outside looking in because, like you said earlier, any given Sunday, you may have another team from another division in the AFC that you unexpected. You're sitting there like, well, where the heck did this team come from?
Because at that point, you're playing for pride. A lot of those teams, they play for pride.
All right,
boys, this is our Super Bowl. We got to play this game. Why should we lay down and let them run over us? You know, that's going to happen. So
and
it's going to be, yeah. Now I was going to say, it's going to be a really interesting year this year. You know, I can't wait. And, you know, we'll see how it falls. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, baseball's coming to an end pretty soon as well.
In New York, sooner rather than later.
You know, the Yankees, they're fighting for that last wild card spot, but there's too much, I think, karma going on right now. It's funny, the A's and the Tigers make the biggest moves at the trading deadline. The Tigers got David Price, the pitcher. The A's got John Lester, trade away Cespedes, their home run hitter. And the Angels and the Royals, who did nothing, have both closed in and overtaken them. So here are two teams that made big, big splashes, probably the biggest moves you've seen at the trading deadline in years, and they get taken over by, you know, two teams that didn't do much and haven't been doing much until lately. I'm very surprised by that.
I think a lot of it speaks to some of the conversations we were having earlier about the team chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you mentioned that I was a Steelers fan, and on top of that, I am also a Pirates fan.
Oh, there
so
you go.
I've gone through many years of...
sure. I'm sure last year was
just...
To put
it mildly. And every year for the past couple of years, aside from last year in particular, you know, the Pirates look like they were... heading upwards.
Yeah.
And then they would go ahead and they would make a trade at the trading deadline, and then they would just seem to fall apart. And I always chalk that up to ruining the team chemistry. Do we really need someone who is moderately better than who we have to make that playoff push? Or do we keep the team that's running hot right now as it is and ride it for however long it goes and see where it goes? And then, you know, last year they didn't really make that move.
Right.
And last year was the year they really kind of got over that hump.
They did.
And I really think it is that team chemistry. You went through training camp. You went through spring training. You went through, you know, the dog days of summer.
Yeah.
With these same guys, you're going to fight for them for every extra.
You're in the trenches with them.
Every extra catch. You're going to dive into the stands for these guys. You're going to do what it takes to win for them.
Yeah.
Because you have that camaraderie and chemistry with them.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a big deal. Speaking on that, because the Pirates just made the playoffs last year, the first time in 20 years, the Royals are. are going on, I think it's how many years has it been for the Royals?
It has to be at Royals
30 something
since 85.
Oh, 85. So my bad.
If
so
I'm
20,
right, the last time they won the World Series,
yeah,
with the late
Dick right.
Houser.
85, yeah.
The Joaquin Andujar flipping out game in Game 7 went ballistic, and they lost, and that was a disaster.
That's right.
Now I'm dating myself, my age, and everything like that.
Derringer's call at first
base.
Yeah,
in Game 6, that's right. And then Game 7, Andujar just
was it Game 6? I thought it was Game 5.
I think it was Game 6 on
no,
a
you're
Saturday
right.
night.
Oh, yeah, you know what? You're right. You're right.
Because the Cardinals were three outs away from winning it. And
that's
that,
right.
That call was... Now I'm really dating myself. I knew it was on a Saturday night. You know, it's really amazing.
Ain't
myself.
Got nobody.
But anyway, Yankees are 3-3, by the way, in the eighth. but about the Pirates and about the Royals and about the Mariners.
Yeah, oh, the Mariners.
Mariners
too.
Yeah. Too. It's good to see other teams
yes.
that have been struggling.
Yes.
Fighting. That's what A makes baseball fun. B what. What? How much the second wild card now has
yes.
an effect
yes.
into it? Because yes. all these teams are not trading away their players for the future. You got a couple of teams who are out of it. Just to name a few. The Phillies, the Astros, the Rangers.
Yeah.
Just to name a few. But now because of that second wild card, you know, now you're battling. And as far as the Yankees go, the Yankees lost 4/5 of their rotation.
Yes.
To give Joe Girardi credit. There's times I say Cashman should go because we're not replenishing the farm system.
Yeah.
But then he goes off and gets the scrapes like Brandon McCarthy off the off the metal who's now.
Prado, Chase Headley.
5-2, but this team's not. This team, I don't see him going anywhere. But, you know, it's a good thing for the Mariners.
Yes.
You know, it's a nice story with the Mariners. It's a nice story with the Royals. But give in every year, in and out. The A's are somehow always there, and they don't go spending $400 million like the Yankees do.
No.
Or $600 million. They're always there.
Yeah.
Billy Bean's got the right thing going with Moneyball.
Yeah.
They play in a dump of a stadium, you know, and they got fans still coming
out. Yeah.
But you give the A's credit in and out. They're doing something right out there. And these great-to-see teams like the Royals and the Mariners and the Pirates.
Yes.
That's how much the luxury cap has done.
Yeah.
That's how much this, you know, they're letting
the expanded
these
playoffs
play. And expanding playoffs have worked.
Yeah.
And that's that.
It's worked out really well for them, and you're going to be seeing a lot more of these teams really come through in the next couple of years. Hopefully the Mets can... breakthrough, which is hard to believe that, you know, you're talking about
sell the
Mets.
The team.
Well, I've been saying that for a while.
Sorry about that.
Well, I mean, but at the same time, they're selling, what, 10% of the ownership for, like, $20 million? Like, that's a ridiculous amount. Like, for such a small percentage. Like, I don't blame the ones who passed that over, you know, and I can understand why somebody like Bill Maher, who's a big Met fan, you know, will buy that up because, you know, you get a small piece of that and you can hold that close to your heart, especially, you know, it's New York, so you're going to have a lot of I'm surprised, like, more celebrities haven't just kind of gone together and, like, bought, or at least made a fight for these franchises. You see with the Buffalo Bills, you know, Jon Bon Jovi, he's like a minimal partner, but he's still on board with it, and he's the one that people say, oh, he's trying to buy the team. Yeah, but there's the whole Rogers group that's based in Toronto that's trying to buy it, too.
And they're slamming Bon Jovi because he thinks he wants to move to Toronto. And a lot of people don't know this. The Yankees are owned by the Steinbrenners, but the Yankees also have minor shareholders, too, as well, besides the Steinbrenners, who own the Yankees, too.
Yeah.
They just have the overall say,
yeah.
Which I agree with you. If someone offered you, if you had $20 million, would you want 10% of the Mets?
Sure.
No.
No, but you're right. No.
I would want 60% of the
Mets. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah,
I could make the move. Say that would make a difference.
I ain't blowing $20
million
out of 10%. No way.
No. You know, and I can understand why a lot of people just push that over. Like, no.
It's a vanity purchase at that point.
Absolutely. Well, you look at, who is it? The Dolphins. A couple years ago, like, who is it? Mark Anthony
and
Jennifer Lopez. All these celebrities kind of bought in. It was like 5%, like, in total.
Yeah.
Jay-Z with the Nets, he had to sell it, of course. But that was less than 0.5% he owned.
Didn't Gloria Estefan have a part of that?
She was part of the Dolphins one as well. She was part of that, too.
It's, you know, as I said, it's vanity, but it's also the franchises saying, hey, we can get this celebrity to be our mouthpiece, our face, our name recognition, get these people associated with us.
Yeah.
You know, so it makes sense on both sides. It's to have that celebrity ownership piece, even though it may be minimal. I mean, look at Jay-Z's impact with the Brooklyn Nets. It may have been a tiny percentage of the team, but he was the most, well, maybe not first Prokhorov, second most visible, you know, owner of that team.
Well, he took credit for the redesign of the uniforms, for the music that's played.
Yep.
I remember the quote was like with the music they play in the stadium, less Jersey, no less Bon Jovi and stuff. At the same time, I think like the team was based in Jersey. I don't know what you want. Now, of course, when they left Jersey, I could care less about them.
Yeah.
I think I like the Knicks better now than I like the Nets.
But what does that say about a franchise if you have to force a star into your ownership of the team? What's that saying? Unless you have a superstar who wants in, okay, fine. But if you gotta plug Jon Bon Jovi with the Buffalo Bills, what's that saying about your franchise? That's not saying anything about your franchise.
No. It's not a lot of positive about that.
It's saying that your team isn't good enough to, you know, make that impact.
Yeah.
That you want to make is you need to get those celebrities into your ownership group. You know, get your name recognition. Get your money maker.
You want to be somewhere cool or hip to show up, which in the NFL, I don't know how much it's $90 a ticket. I don't know how much hipper or how much extra money do you have to spend there? And then you see I just lost my train of thought. No, the a lot of times they talk about how celebrities want to be, or owners want to be celebrities. You look at somebody like Jerry Jones, or even if you go back to Steinbrenner. You know, how big of a you know, celebrity he was. And he owned a very small portion of the Yankees in the 70s, and it was only later on he bought out, you know, a good amount of the rest of it. But at the time, you know, he was still a small owner, and he was, you know, very vocal. So when you see, like, I often heard stuff about them Courts, like, who owned the Dodgers before they sold it to the Magic. Magic Johnson, that's an even bigger, you know, example of like a celebrity owner, and he owns a tiny bit, but it's all the Guggenheim money. But the McCourts wanted to be like Los Angeles royalty, like they came from Boston and they bought the Dodgers, and they wanted to have like the city at their knees, but just didn't work out. They want to have the focus on them as well.
Well, they're now the Yankees of the West, and sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. The Raiders are now down 22-7, but Maurice Jones-Drew looks very good. He scored a touchdown. That was a good offside, and Matt Schaub was running for his life again. Good job on that offensive line, pass offensive line.
Sure,
offense.
Absolutely, yeah.
But getting back to the Dodgers, you know, the Dodgers are trying to become Yankees of the West. They have the highest payroll in baseball.
Yeah.
They're going to go get everybody now. Mm-hmm. That was the Yankees' apparently biggest competition when Cano was a free agent.
Yeah.
Was, you know, oh, he's going to go to L.A. Magic's going to throw the money at him. Well, you know what? You know, the Dodgers are the Yankees of the West, but the Dodgers have players now.
And I just hope,
as a Yankee fan, that for Don Mattingly's sake, he deserves a World Series ring. It's about time he gets one. I mean, Rigetti won one with the Giants. Roberto Kelly, I didn't know he was a Giant first base coach until I watched the Giants in the World Series. He won one, and I think Bobby Meacham, that's another one that shakes my head. Yankees of the bad 80s, but and I hope so, because Don Mattingly deserves it.
He does.
He wasn't there, but he chose that. He wasn't there for the dynasty with the Yankees. Yeah, he was there as Joe Torre's bench coach. It's about time he wins one.
And there's even, because he, you know, if Mattingly was the Yankee, well, first of all, because I know Mattingly was upset that he didn't become the manager of the Yankees.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you hire somebody like that, you can't fire him.
That would have been a big.
How are you going to fire, you know, Don Mattingly? If you look at the Titans, their head coach last year, Mike Munchak. That man has been with the organization since he was drafted by them when they were the Oilers. He was with that team as a player, and then as an assistant coach, and then as a head coach. You know, to a lesser degree than a Don Mattingly, but still, like, how do you get rid of somebody big like that? Like, that's a crazy thing to do. So,
boy, the Jets are in a shootout now. The Giants scored 3 offensive touchdowns now, 23-21. Barrett an extra point.
Yeah.
Bill's son, Matt, of Don Bosco Prep, looking good on a touchdown pass. Had to plug in high school football. It
Jersey.
Starts in 3 weeks.
That's right.
No, you're right. That would have been a big PR blunder.
Oh,
if
huge.
If you bring in Don Mattingly and it doesn't work out, I mean, A, what are the fans going to do? B, you know, that would have been a big PR blunder. But let's look at the Yankees of the 70s. Okay?
Sure.
Look at Billy Martin. Like, yeah. He was a Yankee of legend. And George had no problems, you know. When he woke up, I'll fire him today.
Yeah.
I'll bring him back. I'll fire him today.
Billy, Yogi, when Yogi got fired after, what, 7 games into a season?
In 85, yeah.
And
Eleven games into 85.
Just so early in the season they fired him. How long did it take him to start coming back to old-timers' gaze?
14 years.
You know, that can... Look at the Torrey situation. He only coached them for, you know, that great run of, what, 14 years or so? There's still bad blood until, you know, this year when they're going to retire his number.
Well, the book didn't help. The fact
The book didn't help.
That left on a bad taste. And when you're with the team for a long time, there's ways you can handle it the
yeah.
right way and the ways not to. Torrey's way was the wrong way.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
to a point where he wrote a book. He felt he got slapped in the face. My
yeah.
personal thought as a Yankee fan was, I could take it or leave it. If Torrey would have came back, I could have seen if he left. Look at Andy Reid in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Andy Reid wore out his welcome. And I'm not saying Andy Reid was a bad coach.
No.
He was a great coach.
Oh, my God. He was probably the best coach the Eagles ever had.
But in sports today, you don't stay somewhere 15 years unless you have great ownership.
That's
like
true.
The Steelers.
Yeah.
I guarantee you when the Giants, when it's time for Coughlin to go, they will not embarrass Coughlin.
No,
I
absolutely
think
not.
They will tell him nicely, look, we're going to go in a different direction. However, we're either A, going to give you a job in the organization.
Sure.
Yes.
Or B, we're going to give you the chance to say that you resign.
Yeah.
But still pay him his money.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It depends how the organizations do it. The Steelers, your team, is a class act.
Absolutely.
How can you go through 3 coaches in 40 years? I wish my Oakland Raiders can go through 3 coaches in 15 years.
Sure.
Take away 40 years.
It's the willingness to stay the course. And
yeah.
yes, the Steelers have had greatness over the years, but there have been down years.
Yeah.
But you know what? You had the ownership that was willing to say, we have the right guy in place.
Yes.
Yes, we're having a down year or two, but we're not going to have a knee-jerk reaction and fire an excellent head coach because we had a bad year.
Yeah.
We're going to stick with him. We're going to let him see his vision through, and we're going to be great again. And that's what they did. And that's what the great organizations, what the franchises do.
Yeah.
Is they stay the course through those rough couple of years, and they get back to the winning ways.
And they do it, and they do it time and time
Bobby
again.
Bobby Brister and Mark Malone, those were your down. Those were your down.
Yeah, there you go.
You almost went to a Super Bowl with Mark Malone as your quarterback in 84 with Marino.
That's right.
Yeah, and then, you know, even the Cordell Stewart years. So
oh, Slash.
Cordell.
Slash.
Yes,
Cordell.
My formative years as a Steelers fan.
I know.
You know, in my eyes, he was the greatest thing since Terry Bradshaw. But, of course, now that I've had a little bit
didn't always translate on the field, no.
I've learned the area of my understanding of his quality of a quarterback.
I think he would have been better. Like, he's one who talked himself into being quarterback. He would have been much better just to be the Slash of old,
yes,
whereas a wide
yes,
receiver running back.
To be
and he was that secret weapon, but then he wanted to... Yeah.
Well, it also goes with, you also got to look at the stubbornness of a quarterback like a Cordell Stewart, like a Tim, look at Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
How many people have told Tim Tebow,
he should be a running back.
You have a career in the NFL as long as you don't play quarterback.
Yeah. He should have been a running back. He's the perfect size for a running back.
And Terrell Pryor.
Yes.
I remember John Gruden sitting with Terrell Pryor and telling him during his ESPN Gruden quarterback coaching camp.
Yeah.
Don't you think you should be better as a tight end, Terrell Pryor? No, I'm a quarterback. Well, Terrell Pryor, where are you now? You're backing up Russell Wilson, and the day Seattle gets all their Super Bowl rings, you won't be getting
one.
Yeah,
he's not getting
because
one.
Because you won't. So, I mean, if someone told me, if someone gives me an opportunity in the NFL,
yeah.
someone's throwing me $10 million a year, I'd forget the 10. All right, 10 million is great. But I'm in the NFL, and the coach comes to me and says, listen, you're not a quarterback, but we have a position for you. Try it.
You take that position. That's all you got to ask for. So.
But could you, if you were in that situation, like, who are we to fault these players for believing in themselves?
That's a great point. They're
missing out on potentially, you know, years of NFL career to be who they feel like they are.
Yeah.
And yes, you know, they might be, I mean, Tim Tebow, okay, yes, you're a natural running back. But is he going to be a Hall of Fame running back, or is he going to be a mediocre running back?
True.
Is he going to be an
unhappy, not satisfied, you know, good running back?
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe his quarterback career has not been satisfying, but at least he has followed his dreams. And, you know, yes, it's easy to say, if someone told me they'd give me $10 million to be a running back in the NFL, I'd take it. I'd take it, but I also don't have any delusions that I could also be an NFL quarterback.
That is true. Yeah, I mean, these are guys who spend their time, and, you know, especially if they're a big fish in a small pond. You know,
Tim Tebow will be okay. In ESPN's eyes, he's like their all-time Hall of Famer. Yankees are 3-3 in the bottom of the ninth. Oh, my, they may score more than three runs tonight. I may have a heart attack after
saying
that.
Yeah,
that
would be perfect.
Only thing I need to see is the Raiders score 21 points, and I'll really jump off finally tonight.
It'll be good. Well, guys, I want to thank you very much for joining me on this episode. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having us.
I'm glad we got to hang out here and watch the games as well. So,
thank
you very much for listening. You can like us on Facebook at Everyman Sports. You can visit us on iTunes in the iTunes Store. Just search Everyman Sports. You can visit our website at everymansports.podbean.com. Or you can email me with any questions, comments, or concerns at everymansports@gmail.com. That's one word, everymansports@gmail.com. Thanks very much. Take care.